You're Lori DuBose, as we welcome Fairhope City Council President Jack Burrell into the studio. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning, Lori, and congratulations on being a grandma.
Oh, thank you. I started to say council smouncel. I'm a new grandma. Who cares? But I'm just kidding, of course. Thank you. My son and his daughter-in-law welcomed their new baby, Luke, into the world on Saturday evening. So very exciting indeed. And is this going to be the last time I call you City Council President?
It'll probably be the last time you call me Council President for a while, but it probably won't be the last time you call me Council President.
Forever. Okay.
So we, you know, I meant to say this back when we took office a year ago, was that we were going to start rotating that, and that's just to allow everybody to have the opportunity to serve as Council President. It's an honor, you know, everybody would like to take part in that. And also, it may give me a little bit of a break. You know, I have a pretty extensive work schedule. And so, you know, I've been humbled to be chosen for 9 years, and we're going to rotate it now. And I may rotate back on before my term is done.
So that was going to be my question. Previously, each year the council elected a president.
Well,
is that right?
Not necessarily. The council rules are, there's to be an election, you know, whenever the council deems that they want to have an election, or every year. So for the last 9 years, the council elected not to have an election, just to keep me in as president.
It's been that long?
It's been 9 years. Yeah, it's been a long, long time. And so, you know, like I said, this was not a surprise. This was something that we talked about a year ago. And so, you know, it'll be great. I know that Jimmy Conyers, who's Council President pro tem, he will be elected tonight as Council President. I hate to spoil it for everybody, but Jay Robinson, who's been Council President pro tem for 4 years in the last administration, will be elected as Council President pro tem once again, and we'll go through a rotation. So,
and how often will that rotate?
I think that'll
yearly?
Be every year now.
Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then who knows? You know, maybe in a year things will change, and we'll say, hey, we'll keep Jimmy for another year. I mean, who knows
right.
what'll happen? You know, when I got sworn in that first time, I never knew it would be 9 years.
Right. And then there's others that might be thinking, don't volunteer me for that.
There may be others. Yeah, exactly. So you don't know what. I can't speak for everybody. So
okay. Yeah. All right. Let's move on to the, I guess we'll start with the work session first, because that's at 4:30 in council chambers, then the agenda meeting, and then the meeting at 6. Discussion of updates for personnel policies and procedures. Do you know what that is? I know you're going to have a department head make a presentation, so you might not even learn about
I'm not sure. You know, a lot of times we've talked about comp time and compensation for overtime. That's always that's been a topic of discussion over many years that I've been on the council. How do you compensate somebody that's on call? You know, do you pay them for time served? Do you pay them just because they're taking a weekend out of their life to be on call? And
yes.
So there's usually some measure of something in between. You know, I'll just be blunt. You know, I don't think the employees, you know, are ever going to be happy with whatever we do if it's change. They don't like change unless it's more of something. So I don't even know if that's what it is, but I just know that that's been a topic of discussion for several months. So, and we talked about it in a work session. Oh, it's been several months ago. So that may be brought back up. That's
so
kind of
changing the policy for overtime and on call.
Yeah, and that varies, you know, per the department. You know, the police department has, you know, one set of rules, and public works has another set of rules, and utilities has another set of rules. So we'll if that's the case, we'll just listen to see what HR has to say. That's usually driven by HR and the mayor, and
okay.
We'll just talk to them about it.
Okay. Number 7, final adoption to rezone R4 low density to R3 high density for single family townhouse residential on Gaston Avenue. I'm trying to place where this is. Is this in the old Mike Ford apartment complex from years ago, is it? Gaston at the east side of South Section. Sounds like townhouses going up right there.
You know, I'm trying to place Gaston myself.
I'm just trying to see
where Gaston intersects with Section Street. And that's somewhere near the Baptist Church.
I know the area. I just can't picture where this is. But that's we'll move on. Final adoption.
Yeah. That's a first read tonight for that.
Okay. All right. Next, we have a resolution that I think folks would enjoy. This is to submit for an A-Trip grant for left and right turn lanes on Volanta at Greeno, as well as some acceleration, deceleration lanes on 98 and new signals.
Yeah, this is, as it says, looking for some grant money to help with that. You know, there's a big, big development, retirement home type development, assisted living facility that's going in at the corner of Volanta and Greeno Road. And I also know that I think we're going to ask the developer there to help us out with some of these matching funds. That's a very big project. And so we've needed some turn lanes there anyway. You know, we've got them going in at Gayfer. We've got them in going at Twin Beach. And it's just another kind of major east-west artery to Highway 98 that is in, dire need of additional lanes to make that intersection, much safer and much quicker and easier to move through.
And it would be submitted with an 80-20 match, so that's good.
Right.
I've got number 10 highlighted because of the number.
Yep.
To award bid to Griner Drilling Services for well number 11 development for the Water Department with a total bid of $861,000.
Yep. Yeah, that's to drill a new well. That would be down south of town. We have a big well field down there, and we've been briefed by this by Jason, our water department superintendent, quite a number of times. As you know, recently we had another well, which we're going to have to shut down because, some of the levels of minerals, which is a natural occurrence. And so we need more water. We're growing by leaps and bounds, and with more people comes a higher demand on the water. Our water system is very extensive. It's not just the municipal limits, but extends, many miles beyond our city limits. So, we have customers to serve, and it's a big number, but it's just a cost of doing business. And, you look at $800,000 and then you add, say, 1,000 users to that, 1,000 users a month paying, say, $40 a month, roughly, and that's $40,000 a month income, or $480,000 a year. That revenue is $960,000 in 2 years. So,
new users.
Yeah,
not
I'm just
existing.
Basing that on 1,000 new users. The existing system is taxed very, very heavily. We're often at 90-something percent of capacity.
Right. I can remember a couple of summers
ago. If you get into a drought or an issue with people, we don't get any rain in the summer and it's really hot and people start watering their lawns. Remember we had some rust that showed up in people's water, discoloration, because you kind of get near the bottom of the tanks.
So this was a budgeted item.
Item alone and many others like it is one reason why we had that, record high budget this year.
Right.
So much of that is on our infrastructure.
Have our water rates gone up recently? Am I thinking?
They've gone up some. They're still modest. They're still on par with our neighbors. They're still even below.
I really noticed it on my bill though.
Yeah,
I'm like, holy cow, there's one person living here.
Well, now
one person doing laundry, one person taking showers, and I was really surprised at the cost of water and sewer combined.
Well, now, so
over our $70, $80 a month and sewer.
You have to make sure you're not paying for two billing cycles, too, because I know that I got a bill, and I paid it immediately because it came in. Remember, we had a billing glitch.
Have to make sure the billing cycle is correct instead of the billing provider? I don't understand.
Let me get through the story.
Okay. All right.
And so the billing came out very, very late. And as soon as that bill came out, I noticed that I got another bill about a week later. And it was 2 months' worth of bills. Well, I had already paid the first month. And so if I had paid that second one, I would have been paying for 2 months, but I had to know to subtract what I had already paid in the first month. So I can't
speak for you. So are we getting a refund for those that didn't catch that?
First of all, I can't speak for you, Lori. I didn't look at your bill. I don't know if that's the case, but it was in the case for myself.
Okay.
I didn't pay the total bill the second time. I only paid what was due that month. But for people that may not have paid close attention, they may have paid an additional month, and then you would be credited for that, I'm sure, is what you know. We're not going to issue refunds to thousands of customers because it would probably take just as long, but you would have a credit on the next bill.
Credit is just fine. But, and that came out of not the city, but the billing provider.
The billing provider. That was a glitch by the billing provider. Correct.
Okay. And so I guess it's more practical and economical to have all the billing done by an outside billing source now than to do it in-house?
That was the consensus whenever that was decided upon. I think that could always be debated. You know, if we hire people, we would have to put on more staff, more benefits, when there are companies that are probably more suited to do this. Of course, then they take a cut of that. So you could say, well, how much is that cut? How many employees could that pay? You know, it's probably always worth reviewing periodically to see whether it makes sense or not to farm that job out.
Okay. All right. Number 12. And once again, these are a lot of budget items that are just coming through, but I think people will be interested to know. Number 12 is the potting soil for the year, and then number 19 is the annual flower planting. So the soil will be $57,000, and the annual flower plantings will be $105,000. Is that about normal?
That is. Now, I know, you know, once again, that's one of those things that, you know, I'm looking at this, and you're saying we're paying $11.75 per 50-pound bag.
That sounds reasonable.
It is very reasonable, but why are we buying it by the bag? Why don't we buy it in bulk? Why can't we just back a truck up and dump it?
Plus $125 per truckload.
Probably a shipping cost. So that's saying a truck full of 50-pound bags.
Mm-hmm.
Why not just put it in a dump truck and dump it in the warehouse somewhere?
Well, it depends on where it's coming from, I guess.
It very well may be.
Might be cheaper than driving a truckload of dirt across country.
That's probably true, too.
Everything's gone up. I know it's been a struggle for city officials to have to deal with that on a regular basis.
I think that our staff looks at these things. But since we were on that theme of looking at, you know, cost savings, I think that's something that always needs to be revisited and probably is visited by the staff and the mayor. I'm sure they sit around and have the same discussion that we're having right now.
Good.
You're not the only ones thinking that. I think that they're you know, looking out after the city as well.
So on the flower planting, we buy like the seeds or the plantings, and then the city grows them, maintains them, and changes them out.
Right. And that's
absolutely
the other thing, you might want to buy
too.
Them in bags because you may not want that potting soil. You know, potting soil is kind of moist a lot of times, and you put it in a bag. If you just dump the truck out there on the ground somewhere, it may dry out, you know, and lose
and
that.
And grow weeds and other stuff
and
in it.
Infested with all sorts of contaminants.
I see in lots of more budgeted items. We've got a Caterpillar waste handler, Caterpillar metric ton excavators.
Yep.
We're looking at $60,000, $70,000, $90,000 new trucks.
Yeah. So the reason you're seeing, you know, used to you didn't see all these on an agenda. You didn't see, you know, 10 or 15 of these on an agenda. But this is all, which everybody's familiar with by now. You hear the buzzword, supply chain disruptions. What you order now may not be in for a year. So, you know, we don't even have the money in the treasury yet. We collect taxes throughout the year right now. We do collect the bulk of our property tax towards the beginning of the calendar year. People start paying those, you know, in November and December. So we start getting that money in January and February.
Right.
Now, that's a lot of our income, the property taxes. But sales tax is collected throughout the year. So you would say, well, how do you write a check for all this when you don't have the money? Well, we won't write the check for these until they're delivered. And in some of the cases, it's 6, 8 months, 12 months down the road.
That's
but
the way
we have
you gotta
to get them
it.
Ordered now.
I see number 20, 793 new garbage cans for $45,000.
You know, it's funny. I actually looked up the cost of those garbage cans, and that is a super good price. Not only did I look them up, when I was in Walmart over the weekend, I just happened to notice they had similar garbage cans.
Okay.
And they weren't quite as big as what these are.
95 gallon.
Yeah, but they cost more than what we're paying for these. Oh. So we're getting a very, very, we're getting a great deal on these. And once again, like I pointed out, the cost of the, to dig the new well. Well, you know, when we give somebody a garbage can, that starts return, that's a return on an investment. excuse me. Immediately, we have a new customer, and now we do replace old garbage cans. If you have a worn-out garbage can, you need to replace it.
They don't really wear out, though. I mean,
no, they
I've
don't.
I've had the same one since they were issued.
I've had the same one. I don't even know how long it's been, 10 or 12
unless,
years, it looks like.
Unless somebody
new.
Runs over them, they're good.
But, yeah, you know, if you start using it for your yard debris and everything else, they'll get worn out. But these things, they pay a dividend. If you see that we're having to put out 500 of them, you know, probably 400 of them are new residents.
Okay. And then number 22 caught my eye, too. New 5-ton air conditioners, but the prices, once again, look pretty reasonable, I think. Number 22. This
yeah,
is for
you know,
the USA
yeah.
building?
It is, yes. You know, we've got to get that building fixed up. We had South Alabama was using that as an administrative building for many, many years.
I think I realized it was the cities and
yes.
not South.
It is the cities, and it's actually on single tax property. So
they're on Summit, North Summit,
yeah,
where they
so,
use the movie, where the amphitheater, the little theater is, and all.
I don't know about it. Was there a little theater in there? There's a meeting room in there now. Maybe it was a theater.
Okay.
But it's just right down the road here.
Oh no, I'm thinking of a different building. Okay.
One street to our west on the corner.
I know. Yeah.
And that's about a 5,000 square foot building, and we just need to get the air conditioning fixed, and that has been leaking for a while. And it's got some really nice old hardwood floors in there. We want to preserve that. And we're going to fix that building up, and then we'll turn around and we'll turn around and lease that building. We have some people that are interested in leasing that building. But, we, you know, there's some people that say, why don't you just sell it? I think that's prime real estate. We don't want to – we'll be dealing with what somebody's going to do to that building if we turn around and sell it. And that's a historic building. So we want to preserve it.
You'll lease it at market prices.
Yeah, we're going to lease it at market.
You know
yeah,
how
we
much
were
things
getting,
cost to rent,
We
right?
were getting, you know, $1,000 a year for that. We'll turn around and lease that for, you know,
$2,000 a month or more.
Oh, and it'll probably be more like, you know, $4,000 or $5,000
okay,
a
good,
month.
Okay, good. All right.
So we'll get a 60x factor on what we were getting on.
Okay,
there.
Good. And I see the airport is going to get a grant the mayor has to authorize and accept $59,000.
Right.
Anything from the airport authority or airport news you want to mention briefly?
No, there's been a lot going on. There's a lot of construction on the east side. We still have a demand for hangar space, not only for people that are wanting to build their own private hangars, but also those that want to lease hangars. The cost of construction, particularly the price of steel, has gone up so incredibly high that we could not rent them at such a way that we could even break even on that. So we're just waiting on the price of steel to come down. We do forecast that it'll come down hopefully in the next, you know, 4 to 6 months, and such that we could make an investment into some more hangars out there. We have a long, long list. We have, I don't know, 24 to maybe 30 people waiting to get hangar space out there. So that's something that we want to do.
Couldn't you recoup the construction cost with rent?
No, you can't. That's what I'm saying. You can't charge enough rent. People are not willing to pay as much rent as you'd have to charge to break even on that. Steel has gone up, you know, a factor of 300%.
Wow.
And even if we were on the very high end of what we would charge for that, if we were the highest around, we would still lose money on that. It's made it impossible to do that right now.
We're speaking with Fairhope City Council President Jack Burrell. It is 8:55 and 59 degrees now. Hopping off of the agenda, since we're running out of time, a couple of developments that people are concerned about. One is out Gayfer Avenue Extension. I couldn't find this. I went looking for it.
Yeah.
This is 28 Trueland homes that are going to be built at the north end of North Station Subdivision, and they have cut, apparently, a construction access road through wetlands instead of using Blueberry Lane.
Yeah, I can't speak to whether or not they cut through the wetlands, and also whether or not the city allowed them to do that. I would say that we don't allow anybody to break the law.
Well, apparently, you know, they got the permits through the court. Fair Oak Times did a back article on this.
Yeah, I think
this
they may have bought some
years ago.
Wetlands. They bought it through a wetlands mitigation bank.
Right.
I know that they are connecting through North. North Station.
Yeah, it's the North Station subdivision.
Yes. And so, you know, we've been receiving a lot of complaints. During the time at which we had the public hearing for the Planning Commission, we had no residents speak to that.
Well, that was a couple of years ago, right?
About going on three. This winter, early January or February, it'll be 3 years. No one spoke against it. There was a stub out there at North Station. And you know, I don't want to sound rude, but you know, if you move into a subdivision, there's a stub out.
What does that mean? A stub out?
It means where a street just tends to end. It's not a cul-de-sac. It's just
you can bet on future development.
You can bet on future development, okay. And if you move there, you know, thinking that something's not going to connect to it, then you know you're either being lied to or you're not being logical,
right,
because
right.
It's very obvious that was going to be something connected to that, and it's 28 homes.
That's pretty small compared to
it. It is pretty small compared to it. Could have been, you know, 250 homes. So while I do sympathize with those people there, this is a part of me. I'd hate being a politician because I just want to tell it like it is and say it was there. You had to know it was coming. It's 28 homes. I don't know that 28 homes will wreck your world. They are starting to use Blueberry Lane for construction.
Okay.
And I've spoke to some citizens along there. And the people that I spoke to that live down that lane told me that they understood that something would always come down that road. What their concern is that that road is not torn up and that it be, you know, not, if it is torn up, that it be put back into at least as good a shape or better shape than it was. And I've been told by the mayor that the county is committed to doing that. So you'll get a lot of feedback on that. And, you know, we always say we want connectivity in the city, and you know, if you go to the meetings that we're having, the public meetings that we're having right now, everybody espouses connectivity. Everybody wants connectivity as long as they're not connecting to them. It's the same story since the beginning of
time.
Don't
tell me what to do with my property, but I want to tell my neighbors what they can do with theirs. It's a catch-22, it is. And we're just about out of time, but speaking of the comprehensive land use plan meetings, the next two are December 2nd, that morning and that evening. And I'm sure you encourage residents to attend. We've heard suggestions of a moratorium on development at some of those meetings. Do you think that will ensue?
I don't know. Once again, we say this every time, is that the areas in which all the development is occurring is in the unzoned county.
Yep.
And we can tell them no. Well, first of all, I don't think that we can put a moratorium on land that we don't have any jurisdiction over.
No.
And then when people petition to annex into the city because they want to be known as part of the Fairhope city limits, it adds value to their property. We can turn them down and they can say, fine, we'll just build it in the county, and we'll still be stuck with the crowding and still stuck with all the issues.
At least if it's annexed, you have more control.
At least they're annexed, we have a little bit of say in our subdivision regulations, building codes.
Right.
We can receive, you know, fees from that we can put back into the infrastructure. If we don't allow it, then we don't receive anything, and we can't put any money into the infrastructure. All they're going to be taxing our systems anyway. So
it's like the Lawrence Road, apparently.
Lawrence Road
is
a prime example.
There's apartments that are going to be built out Lawrence Road. But the city council, even though you're getting bashed unmercifully on Facebook, you had nothing to do with it.
We tell people, look, you know, annex into the city and we can help you. If you don't annex into the city, you know, we cannot help you. And but the people that live in the county, historically, they don't want somebody telling them what to do with their land. And, you know, if you think about it, they want to do they want to sell to the highest bidder. Some of this land's been in the families for generations, and they want to sell to the highest bidder. Well, the developers want to make the most money they can, so they want the highest use of that property, meaning what makes them the most money.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we wind up with high density. We wind up with apartments. We wind up with, you know, small lots. That's what you wind up with. So, you know, until we can – square off our city limits, which we've been saying for years, until we can convince people that there is some benefit in joining the city of Fairhope, that it's going to continue on and on and on.
And that sounds like a good ending point for this portion of
it's
the
program. It's a sad ending, but it's a stopping point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jack.
Sad but true, yes.
Well, as always, we appreciate how candid you are and forthright you are. Whether it's a popular opinion or not, you give it, and
we
appreciate
that.
Well,
I think you have to do it because you can't set false expectations. If you continue to talk with a false narrative as a politician, you reap what you sow, and it's going to come back and haunt you. You just have to, as hard as it is sometimes to say, yes, there's somebody that's going to connect to your subdivision. I could sit there and dance around the issue, but that doesn't do any good. I think that people would rather hear the truth, and that way, the next time it comes up, and whether it's a planning commission hearing or whatever it is in a city council, at least people will trust what you're saying.
Right. Thank you, Jack.
Thank
I appreciate
you.
It very much. Letting me grill you. Thank you very much.
No problem.
It is 9:02. Goodness gracious. We're going to pause this interview as we make the transition to Swap Shop. If you missed part of this, you want to listen to it later, it will be posted at WABF1480.com.